Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Johnny Marks and Ike Reese. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the Marks and Reese Show live from the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in beautiful Atlantic City. Johnny Marks, Ike Reese, and Ike, it's hoodie weather officially. Hoodie weather here. What's up, man?
It's hoodie weather inside of here. How about that?
It's hoodie weather.
Well, happy Wednesday, brother.
What is up?
Well, you know, we're down here at AC, Hard Rock Casino.
Yeah, man.
And we're another day closer to the Eagles. Big game coming up Sunday versus the Panthers.
You're not kidding. I already feel great about the game. Easy win.
Oh, easy win.
Not easy win, but, yeah.
They win
the game.
Okay.
I'm not really worried about Sun. I'm not worried about Cam. I'm not worried about Carolina. They're a tough team. You know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But the team that I saw last week against the Giants is the team I wanted to see. And I better continue to see the offense in Carson Wentz. And, you know, listen, the defense looks like it's played poorly. You look at the numbers, it actually has been pretty good. So we'll get into all that. Mike Florio is going to join us at 3:35 Pro Football Talk because we haven't heard anything about Le'Veon Bell in about a week. Right? The last news that came down, Ike, was he was still working out in Miami. Somebody took a video of him or something. Some dude took a video of him, and he said he's expecting to be back with the Steelers next week. But if they trade him, he's not going to be back with them. So Mike Florio will give us the latest and what exactly has happened with Le'Veon Bell and coming to the Eagles. Is it the calm before the storm, or is it just doesn't seem like that it's working out right now? But last night, you know what wasn't working out? Pretty much anything last night outside of Ben Simmons and Joel for a couple minutes. That game last night was, I know you weren't expecting a win. You said that last night. I was expecting more than what we got, at least from the team perspective.
Right.
Bad game, man. Bad game and bad first-round draft pick. First overall pick, Markelle Fultz. I'm trying to be positive. I'm not negative, John. I'm positive, John. This guy just flat out can't play. He's never going to be a good player in this league. I'm going to overreact like a champ, but I believe it. He's never going to be a good player in the league, period.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of that today, man. I've been hearing a lot of that today, man. And I'll tell you, he didn't look great last night. You know, here's the thing that I took away from last night, right? Like Brett Brown, he has to figure out what he's committed to, right? You know, this team has an opportunity to at least be no worse than the third best team in this conference, a good chance to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, depending on what their matchups look like in the first and second round. They clearly aren't ready to beat Boston. Boston is just too deep, too athletic, too versatile. They represent more of what today's game looks like and what they want it to be than the Sixers do. But that's okay. I don't think any of us are expecting the Sixers to be in the finals. But part of this year is about Markelle Fultz. Listen, you drafted him. He's here. His trade value is at an all-time low, so you don't want to trade him because nobody wants to give you anything for him. So you need to develop him. So the thing I took away from that game last night, you know, Brett Brown playing him as much as he did in the first half and then basically forgetting that he was on the team in the second half, that's not going to help Markelle Fultz. And you got to decide. Are you trying to win basketball games? If that's the case, put your best five players out there to start and finish the game. Or are you trying to develop Markelle Fultz? And if that's what you're trying to do, then you have to live and die with his growing pains.
Remember what happened this year with the Phillies? It was supposed to be a developmental season. It was supposed to be the next step. And then the Phillies got a little bit better faster than I think they thought that they were going to be. So Scott Kingery and J.P. Crawford, what do we know more about them at the end of the season than we do before the season? Really not much. If nothing else, we have more questions than answers about the guys, especially J.P. Crawford, right?
Okay.
You didn't develop them. So you're right when you say that Brett Brown needs to, like, are you going to develop the guy or you're not going to develop the guy? Are you going to let him play and you're going to let him on the court get his minutes and make his mistakes?
Right.
Or are you going to say, no, we're ready to win right now. I can't afford a guy out there that's hurting the team, right? And, Ike, if I saw something in the future where – I look at Markel Fultz and I say, yeah, man, it's there. You just got to get it. There's nothing there, man. I look at him on the court. I look at him at the foul line. I just see empty space. I see nothing. I see nothing in the head. I see not an overly athletic guy. I don't see necessarily a very skilled guy. He's not a good shooter, right? I mean, you look at him. He's not going to be a point guard on this team. He more or less needs to be a point guard that's always going to have the ball in his hands and try to score. But the problem is he's not a gifted enough scorer. He got that stupid shot from the foul line that he wiggles his way in and does it. He's just not good enough. You can see it from a mile away. And I'd like to think I'm not overreacting based on what I've seen, which hasn't been a whole lot in his NBA career. Things like this happen all the time in the NBA. You draft a guy and it's the wrong guy. I'm not saying you move on from him now, but you can't develop this guy when you have a team that's going to be competing for the conference. No, thank you.
Well, then that's what they need to decide. Then you know what? You can't start him then. You can't start
him. He shouldn't be starting.
Well,
he shouldn't be starting. He should be seeing 12 minutes off the bench, period. He does not deserve 25 minutes. I'm not trying to make this about T.J. McConnell because T.J. McConnell is what he is as well, but T.J. McConnell gives you more on the floor than Fultz does at this point. He just does, man.
I don't know about that.
Well, I know you don't think that, but I do.
Well, his numbers aren't that much different. I mean, 6 points is 6 points.
Yeah, but he doesn't hurt you on the floor. Like, Fultz literally hurts you on the floor because you feel like you have to give him the ball because he's your first overall pick. Well, and it takes the ball out of Ben's hands, which is not a good idea.
Well, here's the thing. You know, Ben can't shoot from the outside either. So he's a liability out there. He hurts the offense also. So, I mean, in a sense, neither one of these guys really fit out there on the court together.
They do not.
I mean, you got Joel Embiid playing with a backcourt that won't shoot the ball past 5 feet from the basket. So,
right.
You know, it's no wonder he's down there making a ton of turnovers. He's playing against four other people out there because no one respects the outside shots of Ben Simmons and Markel Fultz. So I get that. Well, here's what I would say. He can't sit on the bench. Because I don't think there's anything. When I look at the bottom numbers, there's no difference between he and T.J. McConnell. And that's no slight towards T.J. McConnell. That's actually an indictment on Markel Fultz and what he's not really able to do as the former number one overall pick. Here's what you need to do then. Send him down to the D League. G League, D League, whatever it is.
I'll send him down to the F League.
Let him play every game. Let him play point guard. Let him run an offense. Let him develop.
Yeah, but you don't need him to be a point guard.
That's what he is.
I agree.
That's what he is. You drafted the wrong guy, thought you were going to make him a two guard. He's not a two guard. He's a point guard.
He's not a two guard.
That's what he is. He's the guy who needs the ball in his hands.
He'll never be a two guard. And with the ball in his hands, you're right. He does need to develop, but can you develop him in the G League and then bring him back up? He's not going to be able to play. Unless Ben gets hurt, he's not going to see the minutes at point guard. You see that they'll slide Ben down from time to time, they'll slide him down for a couple minutes. The team struggles when they do that.
Yeah, planning 15 minutes a night, what is that doing for him? What is that doing for him?
Well, it's not doing anything for anybody.
Exactly, so why not just send him to the G League?
888-729-9494.
The 70, what do they call? The 7, what are they
87ers.
Called?
87ers. Oh, no, they're the Blue Coats now.
Okay, yeah, going up there to the Blue Coats, man. You're not even that far away.
Well, I think everybody would agree with that.
Yeah.
But what if he says no? Says, nah, I'm cool. I'm not going to the G League. And by the way, the Sixers would even be embarrassed to send that guy to the G League. What do you do?
Well, I know it would be an embarrassing situation, but, like, if you're not going to let him develop on the court with the guys and you're going to yank him and he's going to be looking over his shoulder, like, he's messed. I mean, what are you going to do?
He will never develop. He will never develop as a two guard. He'll never develop as
exactly.
a two guard.
Exactly. And now he's going to look over his shoulder every time he doesn't do something well, and you're going to be ready to yank him for 20-minute stretches at a time, like, what is that doing for him?
So here's what I would say with him. Here's where I think it can work.
I don't see how he's getting better doing that.
12 minutes off the bench, in lieu of Ben and earn the minutes. If you're not earning the minutes, you're not going back out. He's going to earn minutes. He doesn't earn anything other than playing for one of the worst teams in the country and compiling stats as a point guard.
Well, listen, when you're the one that drafted him number one overall.
Agreed.
So you drafted him. So he can't – all I'm saying is he can't get better sitting on the bench. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. He's not going to get better sitting on the bench.
You have to develop him.
He has to play. How else can he get better if he doesn't play? How else can you find out what he is if you don't watch him play?
Ask me. I'll tell you what he is. 888-729-9494.
And you know what? If that's the case, then go on and move him then. Like, you can't – we can't – I'm saying the Sixers can't have it both ways because eventually it's going to become a toxic situation. He's going to want to play.
Absolutely.
So
you hope
he's going to be asking for a trade eventually.
You hope he's uncomfortable sitting on the bench and being happy not putting out there.
Well, then you really got to get him out of here, even if he is.
I'm all for developing. My problem is I don't see a definable skill where he's even above average.
Yeah, you don't think there's anything to develop. Yeah, got you. I feel you.
I guess, I mean, he's big for the position.
I'm not arguing that. I was never a Markel Fultz fan.
He's athletic enough.
Yeah.
He's not overly athletic. He can't shoot. We know that.
We're done with him. Everybody's done with him. He's done.
It's got to be. No, I'm not putting him on the floor 25 minutes a night. Let him earn it. 12 minutes. Bang. Let him and TJ split back up minutes.
Didn't Bang get a chance to develop?
888-729-9494. Yeah, and one rookie of the year.
But I'm saying he got the chance to develop, though. He got a chance to play.
But you could see the skill.
All I know is he got the chance to play. They both were number one overall picks. That's all I know.
Well, he didn't get any better shooting the ball, that's for sure.
Well, neither one of them can shoot.
Well, because they don't try.
Yeah.
Ben took a couple 12-footers last night. Maybe he's working his way out. You know, it's one step back every game.
All I'm saying is if we're done with him, we're done with him. But he's not going to get better sitting on the bench.
888-729-9494. Is it a total overreaction?
You drafted him number one overall, and you gave up a pick to get him.
He'll never be a good player. He'll never be a good enough player to warrant the minutes that the 76ers are looking for. Needing to give him.
This is at the one game.
I don't want to be negative yesterday and say that, even though I felt like it with Fultz. Mm-hmm. But then I just do it after the first game, so it doesn't even matter. Should have just said it yesterday, too. I don't think he can play. I don't think he can play as meaningful minutes for a good team.
Right.
Markel Fultz. Overreaction or no? 888-729-9494. Ike wants to give him time to develop. He is the first overall pick.
Send him to the G League.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and all the different Pro Football Talk entities. Hello, Mike.
How's it going, guys?
Hello, Mike. I saw you had some listeners of us that were kind of that tweeted your Carson Wentz. What you said was out of context when I asked you to rank the three quarterbacks.
Was it not out of context?
You didn't need to add the damaged goods, but you were saying the reason you ranked him three.
You asked me to rank him, and I said why. I mean, he's got a torn ACL and a propensity to get another one. Did you see him dive head first the other night the same way he dove into the end zone when he got the ACL?
Did you see it?
Was that just me?
When we have this discussion, and I take the side of Jared Goff is a better fit to be a quarterback for a long term in this league because of the way he plays.
Let me ask you this real quick, though, Mike. Yeah. When Tom Brady dove into the end zone Sunday, was that reckless?
Yeah, but he rarely does it. It's a regular staple of Carson Wentz's game.
I wouldn't say it's a staple of his game. He just has the ability to do it. But when Tom Brady did it, it wasn't reckless. It called for it, right?
Well, if Tom Brady had torn his ACL doing it at one point in his career, then every time he did it after that, I would say he's being reckless. I mean, the thing is, when he does it, and some of these guys have a knack for when they decide they're going to run the ball, they know how to avoid contact. And even though Tom Brady, you know, when he's running, I feel like we should hear John Facenda's voice because it feels like I'm watching a slow motion NFL Films production. You know, and he also kind of looks like he's a guy who lost his skis and he's running in his boots to try to find them. I mean, it is not graceful, but he knows how to avoid contact. And in that moment, Peter King had a great explanation of it. They had three members of the Patriots offense double teamed. It was Julian Edelman, James White, and Rob Gronkowski. And Brady was like, holy crap, they got eight guys dropped into coverage, six guys devoted to three of my targets. I'm just going to take off. But it's rare that he does that. And I don't think it's rare that we see Carson Wentz either hang onto the ball for too long and take a big hit, move laterally or north and south and take a big hit. How many times do you see Tom Brady take a big hit? It just doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, I just think it's unfair to Carson to call his play reckless because I think it minimizes.
What would you call it?
I just think it's part of his game, and I define reckless as doing something that's not necessary. You know, I'm not saying he's never made a play where he's taking on defenders and he probably shouldn't have, but that play against the Rams, in my mind, wasn't reckless. They're losing in the game. It's late in the game. He's doing what any football player should do under those circumstances, which is sell, give your body up for the team. That's what we teach these guys to do. And I just think when you use those terms in describing his play, it's unfair to him. Reckless play like that would be, in my opinion, prescribed for somebody like a Michael Vick when he played, when RG3
when he
played.
Dove head first and got broken ribs?
Yeah, but it's not just the diving head first. It's doing it when it's not necessary to do. Sometimes you're going to get injured. It's football. I mean, it's football, so you can't have the guy out there saying, well, I'm not going to do anything that puts me in harm's way. How do you think his teammates would look at him if he's out there thinking about himself and never giving his body up for the team?
Right.
When the game is on the line, that's what a player is going to do, and that's what you want your players to do. You want your players to do that. Drew Brees tore his shoulder trying to dive for a loose ball, I believe in a playoff game, and could have ended his career. Whereas I watched Cam Newton in the Super Bowl look at a ball on the ground and not dive for it. Now, who do you think came out more respected from his teammates and from fans?
Well, he never played another game with the Chargers after he tore up his shoulder. That's what was unfortunate about that. It was a Week 17 game, and his contract was expiring,
right, okay.
And he suffers that shoulder injury. And the Dolphins are the ones far more upset about that than Drew Brees at this point, because that's why they gave up a second-round pick for Dante Culpepper and his ripped-up knee instead of signing Drew Brees, and the rest is history. And I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here. When you explained how you regard reckless, mm-hmm. I looked up the word just to make sure that we're on the same page. And I want to see, mm-hmm. Ike, if you agree with the way that the word is defined, if that is a fair characterization. And I'm looking at a definition that says, without thinking or caring about the consequences of an action. I see that as a fair characterization, because if you're not worried about getting yourself injured, if you're just worried about doing what needs to be done, if you're willing to put your body at risk, you're not thinking or caring about the consequences of the action.
Then we're all reckless to play football. Because, see, that's taking it out of context. That's looking at it black and white.
Well, you run out of bounds, you're not being reckless. Aaron Rodgers slides, he's not being reckless. He's thinking about the consequences if he continues to run without getting to the ground. He's going to take a hit, and he's potentially going to get hurt. And we saw him do it when he had that big run in the fourth quarter on Monday night. We saw him slide at the end. If he was being reckless, he would have just kept running.
I hear you. Let me just put it this way. We'll agree to disagree.
I disagree to disagree. I don't like
fine.
That term. I won't agree that we disagree. I'm just
that's
having fun.
Fine.
I'm just
that's
having
fine.
Fun.
My only point is that I think circumstances dictate what's reckless for me. Is that fair? Can I just say for me?
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think circumstances will dictate whether or not you're displaying reckless play or reckless behavior. And I just think in that situation for Carson, it was what the situation called for, so it wasn't reckless. And the times that he's taken off this year and dove head first, it's usually been in a key third down situation where he's needed to pick up a first down. And so I don't consider that reckless.
It's almost like calculated. I mean, if we accept the definition is not thinking or caring about the consequences of an action, there are moments during a game, there are moments during a season, and particularly during the playoffs, where by definition, you need to be reckless. You need to not think about the potential physical consequences, because it's more important in that moment to get the first down, to get the touchdown, to get whatever it is you're trying to achieve because of the importance. And I can agree with that. I mean, if it's garbage time in a Week 17 game that means absolutely nothing to anyone, you don't want to see anybody diving head first.
Right.
And so maybe it's a sliding scale. I don't disagree with that conceptually, but I know from watching all the quarterbacks in recent years, and Mike Vick used to drive me crazy, where mm-hmm. he had that – And on one hand, it's admirable because there's no regard for what happens to him. But you have to have regard for what happens to the team when you are injured. Sure. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, what he did on the sideline against the Chiefs is inexcusable.
I agree with you there.
They made a $27.5 million investment per year in this guy, and he's not available to play because he had to be a tough guy and cut back in and deliver a shoulder. And it was just
that's
dumb.
That's reckless.
That's a good point. Now, if it was fourth, and so what you're saying is if it was fourth down and he needed to make that move to get to the sticks, then that's
at
acceptable
least I,
reckless.
At least I would understand it. Yeah, at least I would understand why.
See, we agree to agree now.
There you go. See that? So leave Pro Football Talk on Twitter alone. Don't be arguing with
Mike. Now, Mike's good. You know you really stuck a knife in this, Mike. You just called our guy damaged goods, man. That hurt more than anything.
Well, I mean, that's what Robert Griffin III was after he tore his ACL. I mean, that's the thing. Can you adjust and will you adjust and will you color within the numbers? Russell Wilson is the most fascinating to me in this regard because he's got a Barry Sanders style quality where there's an innate sense as to how he needs to position his body when it's time to take a hit. He'll take hits, but you see him reflexively and instinctively spin away so when the hit comes, it's not that square, solid, potentially going to injure him type of a hit. And I don't think he can explain it. He just does it in the moment, and I think that's one of the reasons why he's been so durable. He's got that extra sense like Sanders had. You never saw Sanders take a big hit. Yep. You rarely see Russell Wilson take a big hit.
Yep. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, NBC Football Night in America, and all the different things that Mike does within those things. All right, Mike, a couple weeks ago now, we had talked for the first week about Le'Veon Bell. Didn't look like it made sense. Didn't look like the Eagles had the capital to trade. And then as we've gotten closer to the trade deadline last week, it seemed like it was really primed to happen. Eagles cleared cap space. Didn't look like that the Steelers felt like that they could keep Le'Veon. And there's pretty much been nothing since late last week, early this week. Where do we stand right now? Where do you think it is? Is this just one of these things where they're waiting for the trade deadline or they're waiting for the team to make the first move? Where are we?
Well, let me give you the quick summary. It came out 2 weeks ago that Le'Veon Bell was coming back this week. And as of Sunday night after the Steelers beat the Bengals, I was told that the Steelers at that moment had heard nothing from Le'Veon Bell. Fast forward to late Monday, the Steelers were pushing to multiple reporters at about the same time the idea that they don't expect Bell to come back this week. That tells me they heard from Bell at some point on Monday because they've come to the conclusion he's not returning. And I think what happened is this. I don't know this because everybody's very tight-lipped on this one, unless when they want to talk like Bell does every once in a while. But I think what happened was Bell was going to come back, and the Steelers pointed out to him, we have the right to put you on roster exempt status for 2 weeks. And, oh, by the way, we have the right to pay you less than $855,000 per week. And we don't intend to pay you $855 per week when you're not on the active roster. We propose X. And he said, no, thank you. And he didn't show up. That's what I believe happened. I don't know that. But it's the logical explanation. From Sunday to Monday, they didn't hear from him. And now they did. And they said he's not coming this week, even though 2 weeks ago he made it clear that he was. The other explanation is after tipping his hand that he is going to show up this week, he realized if I show up before the trade deadline, they can trade me. I don't want to be traded, so I'm just not showing up until after the trade deadline. That's the other possible explanation, which would mean he'd show up 2 weeks from today, the day after the window closes, so the Steelers can't trade him. Because I know for a fact the Steelers are considering all their options as to what they can get for him. They've moved on from him. James Conner has been good enough at $600,000 for the full year. He's more than good enough dollar for dollar to fill that void. And so the question is, do they trade him? Do they let him walk away after the season as a free agent and get a compensatory draft pick in 2020? Do they find a way to do the transition tag and match an offer and trade him after that, which is more complicated, especially if he's not on board with it? But the only way they don't get anything is if they rescind the tender. If they just rescind the franchise tender, they're out of luck. And I think maybe he's trying to posture it so that's what they have no choice but to do. Because I think when he does finally show up, I don't know that they want him at this point, especially at $155,000 a week.
Right. So your feel right now is it's still very much in play that the Eagles or whoever wants to jump to the front of the line that could get Le'Veon Bell by the 30th.
I think that it's a possibility, but what you have to do is convince Le'Veon Bell to want to play for you because he can't be traded until he shows up. And so if there's a way, and again, I don't know what's happening behind the scenes, and we know tampering occurs in the NFL. If the Eagles wanted to reach out to Adisa Bakari and have an off-the-record conversation about what they could do for Le'Veon Bell if he would report and then be traded. That is something that, you know, could go undetected if they do it the right way. And it's possible the Eagles could approach the Steelers and say, will you give us permission to communicate directly with Bakari to try to work out some sort of a deal? Now, none of that stuff has made its way into the stream of reporting, which suggests to me that maybe it hasn't happened if there's been official permission given. But that's what you would need. You would need Le'Veon Bell, if he has any misgivings about being traded, you would need him to be all in with playing for the Eagles and agree ahead of time. That's why I was intrigued by the Fletcher Cox restructuring, because of the cap dollars next year. There's a way to give Le'Veon Bell a reward in the postseason other than the playoff share, real money if he plays in playoff games, and you have it as an incentive that gets paid out next year under the cap. That's what caught my attention. $6.5 million this year, $10 million next year. What are they really planning for here? And why wouldn't you want Le'Veon Bell at this point? No offense intended to Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood, but could you imagine what the Eagles' offense would be if they had Le'Veon Bell? And I think it makes sense if they could pull it off. So the door's not closed yet, but until he shows up and signs his tender, nothing can happen.
All right, what about the two other names that we heard over the weekend in Amari Cooper? And with the Raiders, Mike, I would assume that anything that you hear is in play with John Gruden. Well, it looks like he's not in either in rebuild or re-tank mode. And then Patrick Peterson was mentioned, too. Real just names being floated out there to see what the interest is. Where would that stand as far as the Eagles and what the market is?
Well, I think generally speaking, any player is available in trade. Except for, like, I don't know who's truly untouchable, but you can give up to 3 first-round picks. You can go 3 drafts out for a guy, and you can give whatever players you want to get. You can add whatever other draft picks. But I'd say every player has a price. And the question becomes, was there a call made to the Cardinals about Peterson that got twisted into an idea that the Cardinals are shopping Peterson? And you know, I think you're stupid not to listen. You know, if you hang around NFL teams enough, you realize that they view every guy on the roster as a completely interchangeable and fungible product, and they have lists of guys ready to go. They will embrace a stranger to the organization if it makes the team better, and they will say farewell to somebody they subjectively love if there's a way to improve the fortune of the team. So, yeah, hey, look, Patrick Peterson goes. We avoid this salary obligation. We pick up a bunch of draft picks. It'll make us better down the road. I think that it's a possibility. The question is, what would it take to get the Cardinals to pull the trigger? For Cooper, I think it takes a lot less to get the Raiders to pull the trigger because they're looking at having to pay him at some point or watch him walk away as a free agent. So I could see why they'd be inclined to try to get some draft picks now as they prepare for this move to Las Vegas. And I don't know that I want to call it tanking. It's almost like a calculated rebuild that they're doing on the fly because they know they're leaving Oakland and they want to lay the foundation to have a fresh, young, new nucleus of players that will be rolling into Vegas and that they can showcase in that brand new stadium.
Mike, you've seen the NFC East. Washington's inconsistent. Some weeks they look good, some weeks they don't. Dallas, I like their defense. I'm not sure.
They're inconsistent too. Both teams are due to lose this week based upon their patterns, and they play each other, so I don't know how that shakes out.
Yeah, and we're trying to figure out as Eagles fans which one we want, but who's the bigger competition? I say Dallas just because I like their defense better.
Well, yeah, I think their defense is better, and it's strange that in a year that's all offense and all the records with points scored and touchdowns and passing touchdowns, that Dallas isn't part of that party, but they have a defense that's good enough to keep them in games. And when you look at what they did to the Jaguars, you have to take them seriously. But they haven't won a game on the road. They haven't lost at home. I think that with Dallas, you know, you have to worry more week in and week out because of that defense. With Washington, depending upon which team shows up on a given day, you have to worry. So you can get lucky with Washington where it's the bad version of the team and you roll over them, or the good version happens to show up. And that inconsistency with them is bizarre. I talked to Adrian Peterson after they beat the Panthers, and I said, how are you guys going to break this cycle? He said, we needed to stop talking about it. He said, the young players are actually talking about it, that we win one and we lose one, and we win one and we lose one. He's like, please, please stop it. Quit thinking that way. And as long as they think that way, they're going to walk right into that trap. So, yeah, something's got to give this weekend because one of these two teams is supposed, well, they're both supposed to lose, and barring a tie, one of them's got to figure out how to win.
All right, there he is. He's not damaged goods, though, Ike.
I'm damaged goods. I've never torn an ACL. I've never broken a bone other than a couple of ribs a long time ago, but I definitely am damaged goods.
All right, we agree then.
All right. It's all good.
All right, Mike.
See you guys.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate it, Mike.
There he is. Can you give me the Joel Embiid? Man, he was ticked after the game, man. Joel Embiid after the game, he started the whole Sixers-Celtics rivalry.
Man, JJ mentioned it earlier. This is not a rivalry. I don't know why. Record against them, but it's pretty bad. They always kick our ass. So this is not a rivalry.
You're right, Joe. You need to start winning some of these games, man. But here's the thing. Even if you lose last night, I mean, it's just they were making a run before half. They were trying to come back. They were staying in it. Then second half was just like Donsky, man.
Let me tell you what I noticed last night, right, with Joel Embiid and his game. This is why I love Joel Embiid. And this is why when we were talking about the greater player, whatever we were doing with he and Carson Wentz, this is why I selected Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is a generational talent. And we're not going to realize his full potential as a player until you put a team around him that allows you to give you his full arsenal of weapons. He gets the paint clogged on him. He gets people doubling down on him. He kicks out of double teams when he does decide to kick it out of a double team. He knows no one's shooting the ball from the outside unless he gets it to J.J. Redick or Robert Covington. Like, they had better. Elton Brand, your job is the GM. Let me get, and this is for Ben as well, because Ben is a byproduct of this. Find players that will allow these two guys to realize their full potential.
Yeah.
Find players, right? Like, they need shooters on this team. If Joel Embiid had space to operate with, man, he would kill Al Horford.
Yeah, it's not
even fair.
He would
have 30 points easily every night. Well, but you got to put players around him that's going to allow him to do his thing, man. I'm watching this dude on both ends of the court, man. He is a tremendous athlete for a guy his size.
Running up and down,
man,
blocking
running up
shots.
And down the court, blocking shots, man.
He had a dunk last night where Ben left it for him. He went in between his legs behind him. He took off from, like, foot inside the foul line to dunk
24
it.
Years old, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. 20. Don't waste this dude's talent, man.
So that's
don't waste his talent. You better do it while you got Ben still here.
That's the good news, all right?
So that you can keep Ben here.
The good news is you have these two guys. The bad news is I think that, I mean, they know they need more shooters, right? There's a reason why J.J. Redick's back is because they couldn't get anybody else here that can do it. But you have to be creative to get guys in here. You're going to be able to draft people that come in here and do it. You're not going to be able to just sign everybody to the most money.
Right.
You've already lost some of that.
Struck out on that already, yeah.
Right.
And Klay Thompson ain't coming next year.
No, so is this a fair tweet? And it says, don't forget how Nelson Agholor bounced back.
Oh,
that's
God,
from Nick Dungy. you can't look at it and say Agholor struggled and they stuck with him and he's back. No?
Well, I mean, you can.
Do you buy it?
If you want to remain, hold out hope. I promise you, I'm trying to find a reason to like Markelle Fultz. I would rather see enough of him and then to a point where I get like, you know what, I've seen enough. I don't want to see him anymore. He's done. He's not going to be what we thought he was going to be. It's hard for me to say that when he only played, 14 games last year, barely, and then I don't know if this is going to be a pattern, what happened last night.
What, no minutes in the second half? Well, if he plays as crappy as he did.
Well, they all played crappy in the second half. See, it can't all be his fault. They all played crappy
they
in
did.
The second
that
half.
That was a bad half. You're right. You're right. He was bad. He was bad. Like, he was bad every minute he was out there. Every single minute, man. He was. But, I mean, do you owe it to the team at this point? Because you're right. You need a third player on this team. Dario's a nice player. Mm-hmm. Rocco's nice in his role. They have guys that are good players, but you need a third guy, and not J.J. Redick. You need a third guy that can play. Markelle was supposed to be that guy. He's not.
Yeah.
He's not. Can he be a good player in this league? I mean, I guess maybe, but he has to play a different position. He's got to play a point guard position. He can't do that here. Let's go to John, South Carolina. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
What up, John?
Yeah, listen, Ike's right. They have to send him down. And the problem is that I get, you know, they just don't want to admit that they made a mistake. So they're going to hang on with him until they get nothing for him. You know, look what they did with Bridges. They take Bridges and then they trade him. My God. I mean, he would have been a much better player. He's not a point guard, no. But you didn't need a point guard. He's a driver to the basket. He can shoot, and he's good on defense. And what do? They draft him, and then they trade him right away.
Well, let's focus on Markel for a second. I can't, you know, I'm not going to argue with you over Bridges. I wish he was here right now. But, you know, but Markel, you say, John, send him to the G League. I say, sure. I don't think it's going to happen. Right? They don't have to agree to that.
I mean, Fultz and his people?
Yeah, Markel, yeah, they won't even get the Fultz. The agent will just say, yeah, nah. Nah. Like, if they bench him and don't play him, maybe. They could say, hey, the only way you're getting minutes. I mean, I'm not saying that he's playing so poorly that he should get no minutes. I'm just saying I'd give him a dozen minutes to start and off the bench and say, listen, earn more. Earn more. Earn more with your defense. Earn more with improving on offense. Just do something that you stand out with. He does nothing that stands out, not one thing. Not one thing. If he gave extreme effort on defense, if he just did something, he doesn't do anything. Markel Fultz. Frank in Wilmington. Hi, Frank.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Frank.
What's up, Frank?
I'm with you, Johnny. I'm done. He shows no enthusiasm, and you need shooters. Like I said, to me, I know you're not a Jimmy Butler fan. I way much have Jimmy Butler. At least he shoots and can score. And this kid just shows nothing. Not even on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, I mean, I don't think either one of them disagree with you. Jimmy Butler? Mm. What would Minnesota say to that if you give them a package that said, all right,
well, they wanted Ben. No, didn't they want Ben Simmons?
Right. Yeah, well, you're not doing that. Mm. So once if you gave a package, the problem with Jimmy Butler is then is it a one-year rental or are you giving him $190 million?
If I'm Jimmy Butler, I mean, where are you going that you're going to find a better player than Joel Embiid to play with?
It's a great spot to be.
Yeah, that's the way I would look at it. But, you know, these guys seem like they want to go play in New York for whatever reason. You know, I'm not a big Jimmy Butler fan. I'm not. I think Jimmy Butler is a guy who's worked his butt off to become an all-star player in this league, one of these wing defenders. He's turned himself into a little bit of an offensive reliable player. But he's not as good as he thinks he is in his head. He's not. He really believes he's a perennial all-NBA type player. He's not a franchise player, and he thinks he's a franchise player.
You know what he's good? He's good on a team where he just has to pile up points, and maybe they make the playoffs. He's their best team. Everybody kind of just cowers to him.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's good on a team where there's two other better players.
That's what he should be. He actually is a really, really good fit on this team.
Yeah, he would be a good third guy.
In theory.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that would work for him.
Like, and this is not a shot at Robert Covington, but that's what you – stop, TK. Well, Jimmy Butler is ideally what you would want Robert Covington to be without the personality.
Yeah, right.
Without the personality.
That's the guy you wish he was.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, Like, they need him here. They need a player like that here.
Yes.
They need a guy that wants to score, that is aggressive, that can score.
Can get his own shot.
Yes.
He's not necessarily a three-point shooter, but he can shoot from out there at times. But the most important thing is that he can get his own shot mid-range or going to the basket, and he's a bulldog defender.
He's a good player.
Yeah, so he is a good player, but because he thinks he's better than what he really is that's the reason why he's got the stank attitude. He's got the stank attitude.
We heard this yesterday. Jack Fritz just texted it to me. Zach Lowe is he still ESPN, Zach Lowe? So he says that Philly would be a different story, and Butler has eyes for them, sources familiar with the matter say. The Sixers have expressed almost no interest in trading for him, sources say. There's some theoretical roadmap to a Clippers team up with Leonard. But I think the problem with if you're Brett Brown and you're the Sixers organization and you realize you more or less have one max player that you can add.
Yeah.
And if you trade for Jimmy Butler, you're almost saying he has to be that max player because you're giving up enough capital to where if you trade for him, you're going to want to keep him. I don't think they want to make him their other max guy.
Here's why I would be okay with doing it, because I'm closer to believing Markelle Fultz is exactly what we're seeing right here. He may be a little better than what we're seeing, but I don't know if I – well, I do know I don't believe he's an all-star player. And so if I want any legitimate shot at beating Boston in a seven-game series, I need a player like Jimmy Butler to go with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. So Markelle Fultz is not going to help that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's some package I could put together with Markelle Fultz being the centerpiece that I could send to Minnesota to sell them on Fultz, Wiggins, and Karl Anthony Towns. Now you got a point guard.
Yep.
So if there's something I could send them to sell them on Markelle Fultz, you know, I would do it.
I would trade Fultz for Butler just for this year.
Yeah, but I don't know if Butler, I mean, Fultz would be enough to get Butler.
The way they're talking, no.
So,
but I think they have to be realistic in what the market is out there for him.
I agree. So you want that cancer in your locker? Or do you want to get something for him? You're getting a shot in the dark player like Markelle Fultz that could turn into something with a new scenery to get him out of your locker room. And I think Jimmy Butler could work here for a year.
I agree.
I think he can work here for a year.
As long as – but here's, and
you may get him to decide to stay.
Here's the worry is that he does really well and you sign him
right
long term and he's making 190 over 5 years, and then he turns into the Jimmy Butler that we see right now where he starts fighting with Ben, or him and Joe don't get along
because of the egos. Well, you have to understand, this is Joel Embiid's team. You're coming here as a vet to provide that veteran presence, but understand this is the future.
He's bumped heads everywhere.
He has.
I don't trust him.
All I'm saying is, for this year, to try to get something for Fultz, I would do it.
I would do that.
I would do it.
Johnny Marks and Ike Reese. Sports Radio 94. WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.